This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening, and you are with Lynn and Ayman on the evening edition. Now, so our first story today on Popik Popik is all about plant-based meat substitutes. And, you know, this has been a subject that's been picking up steam recently. You know, increasingly people are growing more and more interested in, I suppose, vegan ways of eating and of life. And part of that, or part of making that transition easier for some, is the fact that there are plant-based meat options now. And this is coming particularly after Impossible Foods Inc. launched their new product called Impossible Pork at the Consumer Technology Trade Show, CES 2020.
Yeah, so there have been rapid developments really in, you know, producing these plant-based meat alternatives. And this is to cater for not just vegans or vegetarians, but also, I believe they call it flexitarians.
I identify as a flexitarian, but I don't like saying it because it makes me sound half-baked. Go on.
Yeah, so basically, if flexitarians, if you don't know what this means, is people who want to reduce the amount of meat that they take. So yeah, so these new plant-based meats are to cater to these groups of people. So we've seen startups like Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat create burgers made out of plant substitutes, and we've also seen fast food chains, you know, including fake meat burgers in their menus. And me personally, I've never tasted one before, but I hear apparently they taste just like the original, and apparently there are also some that bleeds like real beef as well.
Yeah. So I think the bleeding there, I believe, is beet juice. So it just has the colour and the sort of moisture and the bite. Mm-hmm. So I have actually had one of these. I had a Beyond Whopper.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I will just say that it tastes very much like the burger that it's supposed to be, but that's mostly because there are other signifiers that tell you that that's what you're eating. Meaning, you know, all the sauces, the the way that they layer the vegetables or whatever, it's all the same. So the only thing that they've replaced is the patty. So because of that, I can't actually tell you whether it tastes like meat. I can tell you it tastes like the burger it's supposed to taste like. And that's because these companies have done a very great job of convincing my brain or telling my brain, hey, you have this particular combination of tastes. That means you're eating, you know, a whatever burger. So it's a bit hard to say.
Yeah, and I guess because of that, it helps in terms of, you know, facilitating people transitioning into a more plant-based meat kind of diet. Because I did try, I haven't tried the plant-based meat before, but I have tried a, I believe it was a soya bean lasagna or something like that. I didn't enjoy it at all because I'm used to having a beef lasagna or a chicken lasagna. It just didn't taste the same. So for people like me who eat not necessarily for the nutritional value, but more for the taste and because I'm hungry, perhaps having a meat substitute that tastes like meat will get me in on it, you know? I think that'll be very helpful.
Yeah, so I can see that. I think that there are a lot of issues and questions surrounding this, right? Like, there are some people, I think, for whom they just don't want... They don't want to eat this because they... Or there are people who don't like eating meat, a plant... based meat substitutes because they don't want to be eating meat in whatever form, whether it's conceptual, whether it's actual meat. And then there are others like me who don't particularly crave meat. I find it more difficult to avoid having it than I actually seek it out, if that makes sense. So I'm only, you know, not a vegetarian for that reason. I like having the flexibility in my diet, and I just don't want to be... I find it difficult to impose these sorts of rules on myself. But if you ask me how often I really absolutely have to have a burger or a steak right this second, I don't feel that way. So these substitutes aren't necessarily for me, but I understand, like you said, that there are lots of people for whom this is going to make a difficult transition, perhaps easier.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, you know, you feel bad for eating beef. You know what happens behind the scenes, and you do want to maybe try adopt a vegan diet. But, you're just not ready for that transition. So having this kind of plant-based meat, I guess, can help that. So just going back to CES 2020, that is, of course, the largest consumer technology trade show in the world. And it's typically the proving ground for innovators and breakthrough technologies for the past 50 years. So, you know, this is where new phones and video games are launched and all that. So amidst new technology like 5G and machine learning, Impossible Foods used this event to launch their new product, which is the Impossible Pork, which is basically a pig-free pork. And I guess this marks the expansion of the plant-based meat innovation into new territory beyond beef.
I can already see how confusing this would be if it's ever introduced here. Can you imagine? Just the amount of hand-wringing and confusion is going to cause is going to be tremendous. So anyway, we wanted to know, this being Popik, we asked the public what they thought about plant-based meat. So first we wanted to know if they would even try it. Here's what they said.
Yes, I would try pig meat. Just want to try, at least I know how it tastes like and I can recommend to people if needed.
Yeah, sure, why not? Sounds like something interesting, something unique, yeah. I will be open to trying it.
Definitely, because it's a replacement for meat and eating plant-based food definitely helps the environment more because we need the animals as well on the planet Earth.
And when asked about what they were looking for in fake meat, this is what they answered.
Definitely, if can, all the components as normal meat, which is like, you know, flavor, the taste, the texture, the smell, everything.
I'm just looking for it to taste the same as red meat, ordinary red meat, hopefully. But it doesn't have to be too bloody, because I personally don't enjoy rare meat as well.
Hopefully, the taste similar to the original meat.
I would say texture, because I'm a meat guy. You give me a choice between meat and chicken, I would choose meat. And I like the texture of meat, because it's very juicy and saucy and
yes.
So finally, we wanted to find out if vegetarianism or veganism was something that they would consider.
I would love to go vegan, but it's too expensive, first of all. And second of all, milkshakes and ice cream are things that I enjoy. But I am aware that vegan ice cream and vegan milk and vegan cheese are available. But again, it's the problem of price.
Not fully, but I don't mind having some vegetarian meals per week.
Definitely not, because I'm a carnivore, I would say. I eat a lot, all sort of meat, and it's very hard for me to be a vegetarian. However, if they can create something meaty from plant-based, I would gladly try.
Not full-time, lah. Just probably, I'm okay to have it once in a while, yeah.
No, because I'm a vegetable guy, but not a forever vegetable guy. Yeah, and if there's a chance to eat chicken and meat and duck and horse and whatever that's meat, why would I want to stop eating that?
Ooh, I didn't expect horse to enter the conversation. Oh, that just kind of took me by surprise at the end there. We're talking today about the introduction of plant-based meat substitutes, and this is coming because at CES 2020, Impossible Foods have basically launched their new product, the Impossible Pork, which, like I said, I think puts people into kind of an interesting existential quandary. Tell us whether you've been looking forward to the introduction of plant-based meat into our markets. Is it something that you're keen on? Have you been kind of thinking about going vegetarian or vegan lately? Call us and share. 7733-2900 is that number. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And Jeff Sandhu of BFM and Enterprise is actually in Las Vegas for CES 2020. So we asked him for his thoughts, and he's going to be coming up on the show right after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:16 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman on the Evening Edition. And today we're talking about, plant-based meat alternatives, substitutes. You may have heard of them. They come in the form of, Beyond Meat. You might have seen the Beyond Burger, Beyond Sausages. There's also, of course, Impossible Foods and now Impossible Pork, which is a new product that has launched at the Consumer Technology Trade Show, CES 2020. So here in the studio, one of us has tried these sorts of things, the other one has not. Mm-hmm. We want to know what your experiences have been and also whether you're keen on actually trying or embracing a possibly vegetarian, vegan, flexitarian lifestyle. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And now on the line to speak to us about these new plant-based meat alternatives, we have Jeff Sandhu from the Enterprise team, who is currently in Las Vegas for CES 2020. Jeff, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show today. So from what I've heard, you've tasted this plant-based meat. How does it taste and what is it all about?
Yep, and it came from a company that probably has the coolest name for a startup, Impossible Foods. They had their press conference here in Las Vegas for CES 2020 at a Japanese restaurant, and you just know that you were in for a real treat. Last year at CES, they made headlines when they successfully imitated the look, the taste, and even the smell of real beef with their Impossible Beef. This year, Impossible Foods is taking on the most widely consumed meat in the world, and that is pork. And I had the chance to speak to Patrick Brown, the CEO and the founder of Impossible Foods, and ask just how did they come up with what type of meat to produce after the success of the Impossible Beef Burger. So here's what he had to say.
It's a complicated decision process that considers a lot of factors, but basically our overwhelming goal is to reduce the catastrophic impact of the global food system by replacing animals with food technology. And the things that have the biggest impact are going after the meat products that have the biggest environmental footprint. So actually, beef on a per pound basis is by far the most destructive. But pork is the most widely consumed meat globally. So in terms of its overall impact, environmental impact, it's huge. In fact, it's even more of a problem from a water usage and water pollution impact than beef production. Less, a big greenhouse gas source, but less than beef. So we chose pork as our second product because it's the most popular meat globally. Most popular meat in Europe, most popular meat in Asia, most popular meat in China and elsewhere. Really, the markets where demand for meat is growing the fastest, pork is number one. And the volumes of consumption are huge. I mean, every year globally, 120 billion kilograms of pork are consumed every year. 47 pigs are slaughtered every second to meet the global demand for pork. So it's a huge high-impact product for us. And we weren't going to launch it until we had something delicious, but I think we've got that now.
Now, it's interesting that he mentioned China because part of their press conference today was also to share some of their plans to expand into different countries. And although they are already in some markets, they still face regulatory hurdles as they are still waiting for approval to enter the European market. But Patrick Brown did say he was very confident in getting these approvals soon so that they can start expanding their business into new markets. And we all know just how big China can be if they actually can tap into that market.
Right. And, you know, Jeff, what I want to know is how often do food products like Impossible actually enter a tech trade fair? And, you know, is this the right market for them to showcase their offering, which is essentially food at a tech trade show?
Well, you know, that's a great question because so far, Impossible is the only company here that is actually selling you an ingredient. In this case, meat that's actually made from the advancements of technology. You do have other food tech players like Robot Pizza and Robot Ramen and Beer Bots and Drink Bots, and I don't think I need to explain much about what they are. Their names are pretty much self-explanatory. It's just robots replacing humans, preparing your food. But tech that goes into developing a plant-based meat, that's very advanced. So I got to speak to Laura Kleeman. She's the senior scientist at Impossible Foods, to explain to me just how does this all work.
So we've developed a really robust technology platform that has allowed us to really crack meat's molecular code and understand all of the really important building blocks that make meat taste like meat. So the most important discovery is that heme, which is an iron-containing molecule that's found in every living organism, is responsible for generating all of the meaty flavor that you find in any species, whether that's beef or cow or fish. And when we were developing the Impossible Pork product, we just looked at how the different levels of heme, as well as different textural changes, like the soft and springy texture of pork, could be manipulated by just pulling different levers of what our ingredients are and those ratios are to generate the different attributes, sensory attributes of the animal-derived pork, but using plant-based ingredients and making a much more sustainable product.
So basically, it's not easy to create this. And it also requires a lot of technology power, and that's why they are here. Also, from a business point of view, this makes total sense for them to come here and showcase the cool stuff that they have, and also allowing you to taste it. Because tech is where you can raise a lot of money. Their rival, Beyond Meat, they have seen their share price on a roller coaster ride in 2019. And even though it has fallen far from its highs in 2019, it's still nearly double of when it was first traded back in May 2019. As for Impossible Foods, they're looking for a valuation between $3 billion and $5 billion in fundraising rounds.
So what is their goal? Are they looking to disrupt the processed meat industry, or are they just simply giving people an alternative?
Well, it's funny because I was speaking to some other journalists before their press conference, and most of them were saying that this could be a great alternative. But Patrick Brown doesn't want this to be an alternative. He wants this to be the way meat is produced in the future, and he's even given himself a target year to make that happen.
Our definition of success is, and we have set this as a goal for 2035, that we have essentially completely replaced animals as a food technology, completely, with better technology that succeeds by doing a better job of making more delicious, healthier, more nutritious, and more affordable meat, fish, and dairy foods. That's the only way we succeed. It's not by making foods for people who are looking for a plant-based product. It's by making foods that, if you love meat, and all you care about is delicious meat, delicious, affordable, nutritious meat, we want to make the best meat in the world. And the reason we want to do it is because we want to completely replace the use of animals, the food technology, globally.
2035, man, that's honestly a very ambitious target, because just think of how much things would change in the next 15 years to make this a reality. Now, don't get me wrong. If this happens, it's a win-win situation for everyone in the world. If this becomes a reality, in the future, eating real meat could actually become a very expensive delicacy, like caviar.
Okay, here's the thing though. I mean, we're talking about food, so we just have to get down to this. How does the Impossible Pork taste? You know, I think we all want to know.
I honestly couldn't tell the difference. It was delicious. They had a few different food items on the menu that's made from this Impossible Pork, like the Impossible Pork Banh Mi. They had char siu buns, they had dandan noodles, and also they had the Impossible Pork Katsu. They had the pork shumai. I mean, they were all really, really delicious. And as you can hear the sound of it being cooked behind me, it also actually smells like the real thing. And the raw version looks like the real thing as well. It's scary, but I guess cool at the same time. So I think I'm finally now a fan of plant-based meat, and I can't wait for different meat versions to arrive. Maybe next year we will see fish or shrimps or chicken. Anything that can save the animals, for me, is a big win for the survival of the human race.
So will we see this plant-based meat in Malaysia soon?
So I asked Patrick about it, and all he could tell me was that he can't wait to bring Impossible Meat, like their beef burger, into Malaysia. He said it twice, which means he's really excited about it, I guess. But it's unclear when this will happen. And also, a few important things to note here. This isn't for those who can't eat certain type of meat, or for vegans, or for vegetarians. This isn't their target market. They are looking to convert meat eaters into plant-based meat, not the other way around. And if a certain type of meat is something against your belief or your religion, this isn't a way around it. Hence why it's made to imitate like the real thing. Because if it's not any good, real meat eaters won't convert. So again, in the future, the way you source for meat, whether it's beef or chicken or fish or shrimp, it could very well be from a plant.
Jeff, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Jeff Sandhu all the way in Las Vegas talking to us about plant-based meat following the launch of Impossible Pork at CES 2020. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. Are you keen on the idea of plant-based meat substitutes. Are you ready to try to perhaps embrace a little more vegan, vegetarian type situations in your diet? And we have this comment here from Robin.
Veggie meat? Nothing new. Our local Chinese veggie meals already have them.
Yes and no. So I think the difference here is that, so I don't know if everyone else has had vegetarian meats, mock meats. They don't really successfully mimic, in my opinion, any other meat outside of fish. If you've ever tried vegetarian goose and had real goose, it does not taste the same. Whereas I think what Beyond and Impossible are attempting to do is to make a product that is indistinguishable, right?
Yeah, it's properly like, imitate the actual thing.
Yeah, and actually, you know, have all those different, the mouthfeel, the taste, all those different things. So I think that's kind of where the innovation is coming in.
Yeah, so even though there are these kinds of already existing alternatives, I think the innovations that they are creating over there, it will push the boundaries, really, of like what kind of products they can create and how close they can make it.
Similarly, Faisal says, veggie meat sounds like a blessing for people with gout, which is a fair point. If you've been deprived of red meat because you have gout, then yes. And also, again, if you are somebody who has been trying to sub it out with vegetarian mock meat, which is made of soy, then again, it's not great for people with gout. So if you can afford it, this might be a good option. Do get in touch. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.